You know, this is the time that we set aside, you know, not for the pastor, but for Jesus. Amen. And so all of us should be giving praise and thanks to God. Amen. And, you know, I've learned to adapt to different styles and genres. And it's really about the heart. Where is the heart at? All right. It's not about the style. And God wants our hearts. And, you know, we need to support one another. Can you say amen? If you're up here speaking or singing, I'll support you. Amen? I'll amen you. I'll join with you. I'll sing with you. I'll support you. Amen? Because if you're doing the work of the Lord, we're in this together. Amen? So God wants every one of us to pull together, to unite our hearts. Amen? Our theme, our central theme is Jesus. Amen? Amen. The center of attention is Jesus. The main attraction is Jesus. If you miss Jesus, you've missed the point. Amen? And if we're looking in the wrong place, you're not going to find Jesus. Amen? You need to look to Him. Call upon His name. Call upon His name. We got to get over ourselves. Amen? I'm going to let God clean up the mess in me. And in you. Amen. I'll preach the word as God gives it to me. But I know it's the work of the Lord. He's the one that cleans it up. Amen. I'm willing to bet if we all study one another long and hard enough, we're going to find something. Or some area that needs improvement. Am I in this alone or are we together in this? Okay. All right. So when we come here, amen, it's not to look for the speck in my brother's eye. Amen. It's to look to Jesus and to be an example and to encourage others to look to Jesus, who is the only one, by the way, that can change our hearts and change our lives and remove, amen, even the plank from our eyes if we have one. So when we come here, amen, we should come in with the heart of how can I edify, how can I build, how can I help my brother and my sister in this journey. Amen. Everybody is feeling the pressure of the time that we're living in. Amen. Has anybody beside myself been feeling the pressure of the times that we're living in? And what God is saying to us is, I want you to draw near. Draw closer. Amen. Because it's in that place of rest, right, where we have rest for our souls. We have peace of mind in the Lord because the Lord is our peace. Hallelujah. And I say it often, but if you're lacking peace in your life, you're lacking Jesus in your life. If you're lacking peace in your life, you're lacking Jesus in your life. And it could be because we're entertaining wrong thoughts or we're going places where we shouldn't, right? Doing things we shouldn't. And the enemy's looking to rob your joy. He's looking to rob your peace. Amen? But the correction is quite simple. Turn your eyes back on Jesus. Amen? Get it off all the drama and the problems, because sometimes the enemy will just magnify the problem if you're looking too long at it. He wants to make the little things appear to be bigger than they are. He wants to get us worried about things we have no control over. He wants us to worry about the future. He wants us to worry about the what ifs. He wants us, I heard the new term, the fear porn today. To be focusing on all the fear and all this stuff that the enemy wants to shovel down our throats. But we need to look up. When you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, right? And your eyes, for your redemption draws nigh. And we say, even so, come Lord Jesus. That whole situation over there in Israel, amen, isn't something that God has already told us about. It was going to happen. It has been happening. Amen. They're being trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And the Lord is removing the veil from His people's eyes. He's bringing His people back into the land. Amen. Because the Lord is going to return and He's going to establish His rule and reign in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And He will reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. In the meantime, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. And those who love her will prosper. As we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what we're really praying for is the Prince of Peace to come to the hearts of the people of Israel. Amen. That they will recognize the Messiah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you so much and we appreciate your goodness. I don't want to get too far into other things this morning, but I want to make mention that starting tomorrow night, 5 at 5 begins. We're going to commit ourselves to a season of prayer fasting if you want to fast, but we want to seek the Lord together. There are some very pressing needs that we have, amen, and that our nation has. And it's time for the church to, all right, come together, to gather, to call, right, a solemn assembly and to seek the Lord. And I believe that God is going to do some amazing things through this time as we would set our hearts to seek him. As you invest in the Holy Spirit, amen, there's going to be a result. There's going to be return on that investment. How many believe there are people that need to be healed? People need to be saved. People need to be delivered. Amen. Relationships need to be reconciled. Amen. God wants to do a work, but we need to seek him. We need to call heaven into the earth realm. Let the glory of the Lord fill this place. Amen. And when we say this place, it begins here in this place. Amen. Let the house of the Lord be filled with a cloud. Amen. You are the house of the Lord. Amen. And we meet together as the house, as the corporate body. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know that all work is not necessarily pleasurably initially? It's not pleasurable initially. Amen. But if you're willing to work, there are some rewards for hard work. Right? If you're willing to make the investment and to deny yourself to seek the Lord and call for his will to be accomplished. Amen. To pray, seek his face. Together, even. We need each other in this time. When I went back to New England, I was speaking to a pastor who used to be my pastor. He's very elderly now. But he is, he's asking me to come and to preach there. But he said, I need you. He says, I need your help. And he was talking about a prayer meeting they were having. He says, I need your help. And I thought, you know what? God bless him. He's willing to say, I need your help. He's talking to his people saying, I need your help. I need your support in this. Why? Because it's not about me. But we're together in this. Amen. Are we not together in this? Are we not all wanting the same thing? To see the will of the Lord accomplished? So we need each other. Amen. So don't think that I don't make a difference. Because the enemy lies to people and tells them they're not that valuable. They're not that important. Nobody will miss you if you're not here. Amen. You just stay home. And if you feel like it, you'll tune in online. We'll see. But God wants his people gathering. Jesus said to what? Gather in his name. We need to pull together. Guys, the church in America, a lot of the church is still asleep. Amen. We need to wake up and the church needs to wake up in America. If the church will wake up, amen, then we'll have influence again. But we cannot wake up without the presence of God. Amen. So we need to call in the glory of God, the presence of God in our own hearts and lives. Amen. And be an example to encourage one another to love and to good works. Amen. To be about the Father's business. But you can't be about the Father's business unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because everything that we're called to do requires the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. You receive an anointing at salvation, but then there's the glory of God, I believe. Amen. Where the Lord comes in his glory. Hallelujah. How many would agree with me that there's a special blessing when we're together? Amen. And we're all seeking the Lord in one accord. That means everybody's together on this. Hallelujah. You see, when we come together, it should not be for us, but it should be for others. So I'm going to be an example for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand out a suggested prayer focus, okay, for this 5 at 5. That means Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. We did it earlier, so people that have trouble driving at night will be able to make it in more often. I'm not expecting it. If you can be here every night, great. If not, pray at home or pray where you're at. But I really feel it's important that we gather as much as we can during this time, and we seek the Lord together. And each night might be a little different. We're just going to be open to Holy Spirit, whatever He wants us to do in the meeting. But these are going to be the primary suggested prayer focus for this time. And we have, if you notice, there are scriptures attached to these prayers. And so we're going to be praying the Word as well. So I'm going to have people involved. People are going to be reading the Word of God. And then we're going to be praying in accordance with the Word of God. How many know that the Word of God is the will of God? So if you pray according to the will of God, He hears you. If you pray according to the Word of God, He hears you. Amen? So we're going to, by the time this is over, if it ever ends, we're going to at least commit for 4 weeks. Okay? Initially, didn't I? Yeah. But we're going to read these scriptures each time. Okay, as we go through it. And so by the time this is over, you should have them memorized by heart. Amen? So I want you to truly consider the importance of what this is about, and why, if ever there was a time that we need to be seeking God, it's right now. Guys, our nation, as you know, is in a mess. God is the only hope for America. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is the only hope for America. And you and I are His ambassadors. We are the salt. We are the light. But we've got to make sure we get things settled in our own lives. Amen. And get right with God too. And so the Lord will do that work. Hallelujah. How many think coming together and praying is a good idea? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, You have commanded us in Your word to be strong in You, in the dunamis, the power of Your might. Lord, Your word commands that we be continuously filled with Your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask You to awaken our hearts today, that we will understand, Lord, the importance, the value of truly committing ourselves, Lord, on a daily basis to seek You, to draw near to You, and as a royal priesthood to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation and of those who are of like precious faith that we live among, Lord. Not just in this church, but throughout America, Father, we're praying for revival in Your church. God, we're asking for a great and a mighty move of Your Spirit. We're asking for an awakening to come to this nation. We pray the fear of God to come upon every politician, every judge, every lawyer, every governor, every mayor, every city council member, every school board member, the fear of God to come upon these people. That Holy Spirit, You will arrest them. Sovereignly move in this nation in such a way that people will be smitten with conviction, Lord. Even as they walk down the street, as they drive in their cars, as they work, Lord, that the overwhelming presence of the Holy God will fall upon this nation. And there will be salvation in our nation. There will be healing of our land. Lord, turn this nation back to You. And begin with us, Your people, called by Your name. Oh God, deliver us from deception. And deliver us from self-righteousness. that we will humble ourselves. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. It's not who we are, it's who you are in us and who we are in you. So help us, God. We commit ourselves, our lives. We commit this church body to you. We pray that you'd fill everyone here with the knowledge of your will and an understanding of where we can be involved, where we commit together, Lord, to build your house as we build your children, we build your people here. Father, show us where we can serve and make each one of us a blessing. So out of our lives, you will shine. Because we want to shine for you, Lord. We want to burn for you. We want to blaze for you, Lord, with a holy passion. So reignite the flame in every heart, Lord. Fan it into flame. Awake, O sleeper. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Lord, we ask you to crush Satan under our feet. Father, crush him in this place. Crush him in the lives of your people. Liberate every captive in Jesus' name. Open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. Lord, in the hands that hang down, that we'll lift our hands and our praise to you once again and love you with sincere hearts of gratitude to express praise to our God, who is worthy of it all. We ask for your help. We know, Lord, you are mighty to save, and there's nothing too difficult for you. So God, we're asking, send revival. Revive us, Lord. Begin that work in me. Begin that work in us here. God, that we'll get our eyes off of the lesser things. We'll live in agreement with your divine purpose for us as we are called to represent you now, here in the earth. Make us bold, Lord. Make us strong in you. For your word says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So, Lord, make us bold for you. Fill our hearts with your love, the love of God, Lord, that we will speak the truth to one another in love. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And by the way, I'm going to be giving y'all plenty of opportunity to pray and join in. If you want to be a part of praying out loud, you don't have to, but we're asking that you come, okay, and pray at least in your heart. And again, there's going to be participation. I'm sure there'll be some music accompanying with it. So, all right. What the title of the message is today is one you've probably never heard of before. It's called In the Name of Jesus. In the Name of Jesus. What does that mean? As believers, we're not just called to preach, all right, or teach God's word, but we're actually called on to wage war against the spiritual enemies of God. When you're born again, you're born into a war. When you're born in this world, you're born into a war. What's happening in the natural is a result of what's happening in the spiritual. The wars that are seen in the natural are being controlled by unseen forces in the spiritual. So our responsibility as followers of Jesus, as believers, is to prepare ourselves, amen, for and engage in, to be engaged in spiritual warfare. And so in order to be effective as a soldier, we must be strong in the Lord, amen? Ephesians 6:10, how many know this? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The reason why a lot of people cannot stand is because they're not strong in the Lord and they don't have the armor on. may not even understand what that means. And so I want to talk about that today. The word wiles means that which is methodized, that which is well laid. In other words, we're fighting, amen, we need to understand what the strategy of the devil is. We need to know what his strategy is. The reason why he gets over on us, if you will, is because we don't understand his strategy sometimes. Sometimes we're not even aware of what's actually happening to us. Anybody ever go through a time, maybe even recently, where you thought, man, everything has been so weird, so strange. All these things are happening to me. Amen. How many know that there are storms in life? And those storms are demonic often. Amen. So we need to know how to wage a good warfare, all right, against our adversary, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. We have the power, but God wants us to know what our weapons are and how to use our weapons to defeat our adversary. Now, Jesus has already overcome the devil. Amen. But what he's called us to do is to enforce in our own lives what he has accomplished already for us at the cross. And the word armor here means panoply. It's talking about a complete armor. It's talking about an external armor. Amen. A defensive armor and offensive as well. All right. So God himself provides the armor, does he not? For the Christian soldier. But we must put it on. All right. So we are called to what? Put on, verse 11, the whole armor of God. That's something I must do. God provides the armor. I must what? Put it on. And so if you don't put on what God provides, or if you don't utilize the tools that he gives you, hello, it's not going to do any good. You can tell people that, hey, listen, here's a tool. Why don't you use the tool? But if they don't use it, there's really no help for that person, is there? Because if they're not going to abide in the truth and obey the instruction of the Lord, then you really can't help a person like that. They have to come to the place where they realize, you know, the things that I've been doing, the strategies I've been using aren't working. I need to find out what God's plan is in this. I need to know what God says about this. I want to know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. So I need God's counsel. I need his instruction. Amen. Because you cannot overcome your enemy unless you understand, first of all, what his strategy is and what God's countermeasure is. But God doesn't want us just living in a countermeasure all the time. He wants us to be using our offensive weapon, which is the word of God. Amen. So God provides this, but we must put it on. Now, Paul told Timothy, remember this? We are spiritual soldiers, right? In the Lord's army. 2 Timothy 2:3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, a lot of times, you know, people say, I don't want any hardship. So I'm going to look for the path of least resistance. I'm going to look for the smooth and the easy way to be a Christian and yet not have any hardship. But anyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There will be opposition. If you're doing something right, the enemy's not going to be happy about it. And we are engaged in the battle. Amen. And you and I should be doing damage to hell. He said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And that's happening too often. We're being distracted by the affairs of this life. For what reason? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So a soldier must be committed. He must be disciplined. Hello. Right? And prepared. Equipped. We need to remember the real battle we are confronted with is taking place in the invisible realm. And that's the challenge and the difficulty. It's not like we're dealing with an enemy we can see, but an invisible enemy. And so our battle is really in the unseen world, isn't it? And it's against the hosts of fallen spirits in the heavenly realm. And then most scholars will agree that the Bible talks about three heavens, three levels. One being the firmament, being the first heaven that we see in this canopy, amen, of space. But then there's the second heaven. And that's why I believe we're the prince of the power of the air rules the devil, amen, and his minions. And that's where a lot of our battle is taking place, in that second heaven, amen. And of course, in the third heaven, that's where God Almighty, our Father, amen, where heaven is, hallelujah, amen. Our final destination, well, maybe not our final, but where we're going to be, because heaven is actually coming where? To earth, hallelujah. All right, that's another message for another day. But Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is very important, because a lot of times we can get just caught up in having a beef with a person, amen, and not understanding that it's actually something going on in the invisible realm that may be influencing that person to do certain things or say certain things that may bug you. And yet we have to understand that the real battle is in the spirit. Sometimes we're just going around trying to stomp out fires in the natural, but we're not dealing with the root of the problem. Sometimes we're just dealing with the fruit of it. We're not dealing with the root of it. Amen? It's the same thing in our own lives. God deals with the root. The Word of God goes deep, doesn't it? It's a surgical instrument. It goes down deep and it cuts out things that are not good. He prunes us, amen, with His Word. And so when the word and the truth comes in, the light of God comes in, amen, and the devil has no place, amen. We need to break the legal right, if you will, through compromise and sin that the devil has established in our lives through the word of God and repentance. That's why we must be honest to God and confess our sins. When you do that, amen, the devil has no right to continue to torment you. Sometimes he will try to do that. How many have ever confessed your sins to God and said, Lord, I'm so sorry about what I did, and you were sincere about it, and you felt like a big load came off of you, and a little while later, you're starting to feel that thing all over again. What's happening? The enemy is coming back with it and trying to offer it back to you and to get you to accept that you haven't been forgiven. We need to believe the truth. God says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. So we're dealing with these rulers of the darkness of this age. It's different echelons, if you will, of spiritual powers that we're dealing with. Amen. And against these hosts, if you will, the armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so when God created us, when he created mankind, we were created for dominion. All right. And it, Psalms 8:4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have made him to have what? Dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. This was the original plan. Amen. And the place that Adam and Eve walked, amen, with God. And so in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What happens here? God said, I've given you the dominion over the earth realm. Over the earth realm. Somebody say the earth realm. So man can destroy the earth, or it can be a blessing to the earth. How many know the earth is our home, our earthly home, right? So I do agree that we need to be careful that we don't pollute the water, because if you pollute the water and you drink the water, you get sick. Amen. The problem is people are trying to save the earth. What needs to happen is people need to be saved. The soul of man needs to be saved. Amen. And then we'll understand our responsibility before God. Amen. But we're not worshiping the earth. Amen. We're worshiping the creator of the earth. You got to go to the Most High. Amen. So I believe in being responsible, you know. But how many know that the Bible says that the earth is going to roll like back like a scroll? I mean, it's going to be burned up, all the works in it. How many know that everything is temporary? Look around this room, these bodies, this building, everything is temporary. One day it's going to all be gone. But God says, I'm making a new heaven and a new earth where dwells righteousness. So that's the good news we have. So man is not going to be able to save the earth. But what God wants is for man to be saved, for his soul to be saved, and that he can enjoy the new creation, amen, that God is preparing for those who love him. And so as a result of sin, we all know this is very basic, right? we lost that dominion in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of sin, we were disqualified to be in God's presence. However, the good news is that Jesus has restored man's dominion. Now, come on now. That's what he did. You cannot live the truth if you're not in the truth. If you don't know what the truth is, you can't live according to it. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." I receive that today. How about you? "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. Amen. And all those things that we did, praise God, he atoned for. He has overcome. Hallelujah. On our behalf. And so in him we are also overcome. Verse 15, "having disarmed principalities," not will, but having disarmed principalities and powers. Somebody say, having disarmed principalities and powers. What did he do? He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The New Living Translation says, "In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." This has already happened. Somebody say, this has already happened. That's the Bible. It's the Word of God. So man's restored dominion is best demonstrated in the area of prayer. Prayer is huge. It's very, very important. Yet too many don't treat it such. They don't think it's that important. And yet, if you really know that prayer is important, you will pray more. People that really believe, amen, in prayer, in the God of prayer, and that who answers prayer, will pray more. If you say that you're in faith, that means that you're in faith and believing God for every one of his promises. And how do we receive his promises? By faith. Amen. And how do we make a withdrawal from heaven? Through prayer, through intercession, by coming to the Father through Jesus, his Son, to invoke his divine influence in the earth realm, calling heaven into the earth realm. Amen. Because Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. And so he said, then go in my name. In my name, go and enforce what I've done. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. See, in the Jewish mindset, when you talk about praying in Jesus' name, the name is the person. So if I say we're praying in, hypothetically, in the name of Karen, it means we're praying, all right, as the first person. We believe, we gather in Karen's name, okay? It means that Karen is with us. So when we say the name of Omer, we're speaking of the person, all right? And we're speaking as if that person is present. So when we gather together in his name, he said, I am where? There. So when we gather in Jesus' name, he is with us. Is he not with us? God with us, revealed in us? Emmanuel? So when we say in the name of Jesus, it's not like God is way up there out of reach and hopefully he'll come down and hear us. It's we're praying as if the Lord in he is with us. That's the Jewish understanding of when they say in the name of. So when we talk about the name of Jesus, we're talking about Jesus himself. And that name represents all that we know about him. So if you talk about somebody, if you mention a name, you may know a little bit about that person. Amen. What we want to do is learn all we can about Jesus, the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Amen. Moses He had a personal encounter with God in Exodus. Remember chapter 34, verse 5? Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the what? Name of the Lord. Proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is speaking of who he is. So what happened? It says that he proclaimed the name. So when you speak about the name, you're representing that person. If I go in his name, I'm going in his stead as an ambassador. But the thing is that the Lord is in me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ is in me. He is with me. Amen? The Spirit of God's Son in my heart crying out, Abba, Father. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, what for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So it means Jesus is actually present. You see, some people, they come, they don't understand. And they come to church, they think, well, we're going to come and we're going to kind of like shout to the heavens and hopefully God might hear my prayer or something. Not realizing that in Christ, you are actually in him. It's like being a bottle inside a bottle. Amen. Now, we understand the Father is in heaven, the third heaven. Amen. And Jesus is at his right hand, but he has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son. He said, Jesus said, I will come to you in my Spirit. His Son comes to dwell within us. Amen? So we receive the Spirit of his Son crying out, Abba, Father. We become children through the new birth. Amen? So it's not like God is way out of reach anymore, like the agnostic would think, well, I believe God exists, but you can't be personal with him. You can't have a relationship with him. But we know that he is with us and that he is personal and he wants to speak to us and he wants to hear from us. Come on. Amen. Because we're in him. He's in us. And so there's this connection through the Spirit to where we have instant access to the Father's throne. As a matter of fact, it says when we were saved, born again, amen, we were united with him in his death and in his resurrection. We've been raised up, amen, and seated where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Positionally in Christ in the new birth, you're positioned with him in heavenly realms. Through the Spirit, we are connected. So when we pray, we should be praying with that full assurance. When I pray in the name of Jesus, I know the Lord is with me. As a matter of fact, the Lord hears my prayers. He hears my whispers. He hears my thoughts. He sees it all. He knows it all. Amen. Let's just get right with God right here and right now. Amen. If something needs to be settled, just get it settled because he sees it all. Amen. And I don't want anything to hinder my prayers. How about you? How many want God to hear your prayers? Amen. Listen to his voice. Do what he says. So praying in Jesus' name is only possible if you're in Jesus or in Christ. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire. So if we're praying according to the word of God, which is the will of God, what? It shall be done for you. Amen. Now, let me just give you a word of caution here. It's dangerous for a person to invoke or reference the name of Jesus if they do not belong to him. Unless they are calling upon him for personal salvation and deliverance. It's dangerous for a person to invoke the name of Jesus if they do not belong to him. Unless it is for the purpose of salvation and deliverance. How many know this one in Acts chapter 19, verse 13? There's the word of God. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists who weren't in Christ took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Why? Because they were watching the disciples do it. And they say, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Verse 14, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Question, do the demons know who you are? More importantly, does the Lord know you? Is there a true relationship? Praise God. Acts 19:16, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They were up against something much greater than they are. Amen? And the same thing is true today. We need to understand this battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? And it's not by my strength or might or witticism that I can overcome the devil. I must rely upon my God, amen, and the mighty power, hallelujah, that he supplies me, amen, and the weapons of our warfare that he has entrusted to us so that we can defeat our enemy. We can enforce what Jesus has done. God said, I've given you authority, amen. Use the authority. If you're in Christ, as a son, as a daughter, you have been given authority in the household of God, amen, to cast out demons. So we don't need to be afraid, but these are people that were simply trying to copycat what Paul and the others were doing. Amen. And they didn't understand that what they were up against was much greater than they were naturally. They thought they could just speak the name and somehow Jesus was going to come to their rescue. And yet they said, wait a minute. We know Paul. We know Jesus, but who are you? Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Now, this is something else to look at. And then I will declare to them, I what? Never knew you. Does God know you? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That word lawlessness can also be in the King James, it's iniquity. And it means in violation of the law. You who practice lawlessness, being in violation of the law. In other words, people that are not operating under the authority of Jesus. He says, I didn't know you. You were doing your own thing. Question, am I living in agreement with the Word of God, the will of God? Am I being directed by the Holy Spirit? I pray so. 1 John 4:13, for this we know, we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. How do I know that I'm in Christ? Because of his Spirit in me. So praying in the name of Jesus is to use his name also as a reference, as a reference. How many have ever given somebody a reference, a job reference? Sometimes I get to do that. I've asked other people to give me a reference. They're looking for a job, right? And so when you give a reference, you know, hopefully you'll be able to give them an honest reference and a good reference. Amen. And knowing that whatever you say about this person as a reference could reflect upon you and your character. So, whatever you ask in my name, that means using my name here, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So praying in the name of Jesus means that you are praying according to his will. How many know the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything outside of the will of God? He always functions within the will of God. Why? Because they're perfectly united as one. He is holy. So that's why we must pray in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And remember, keep this in mind, guys, with our theology here, that we keep a balance on things. When Jesus was at Gethsemane, listen to how he prayed. Luke 22:42. How many remember this? He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Amen. So Jesus resolved to the will of the Father. Sometimes in our humanity, we have ideas of what we think God should do for us or how we would want things to go. But sometimes it's just not the will of God. We have to also come to grips with that reality. It's not like God does everything we want because we use his name. If you ask anything according to the will of God, in faith, in the name of Jesus, it shall be done. Every time. According to the will of God, in the name of Jesus, in faith, it will happen. When you pray for the sick, according to the will of God, in faith, in the name of Jesus, they shall be healed. But God doesn't do things the way we want him to sometimes. He doesn't operate in our time frame. Sometimes we just have to wait for a while for something to come, for an answer to come. So praying in the name of Jesus is really to enforce what Jesus once again has accomplished for us at the cross. And we see that so clearly again in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and 18. He said, not just some, but all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, right? Of all the nations. So Jesus is saying, I have all authority. I am delegating to you the authority to go in my name as my representative. You bear my name to the nations. And as you go, and as you stay in agreement with the will of God, when you speak what he's speaking, when you do what he's doing, it will always produce good fruit. The Holy Spirit will never do anything in vain. And if he's the one we're relying on, amen, he knows the heart of the Father. He knows the will of God. So if we ask anything according to the will of God, he hears us. So when we're operating in the name of Jesus, it means that we're praying and ministering under his authority. And in the authority he has delegated to us as his people. So we are not to wage war, as there's all kinds of crazy stuff online, right, amen, of spiritual warfare. And people have just gotten off on stuff that's like totally outside of the word of God. And, you know, well, because they got a revelation. Well, be careful that your revelation doesn't contradict the word of God. Anything that people tell you they got a revelation, if it's not in agreement with the word of God, I wouldn't go with it. But we're not to wage war in our own ability or understanding or wisdom, but only as God directs us by his Spirit. That's the only way we're going to be successful in spiritual battle. And once again, remember, the Holy Spirit will never contradict the word of God. Amen? So you and I are no match for our adversary. Jesus has dealt, amen, with our enemies. He has spoiled principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness and high places. He says, all authority has been given unto me. Go there for in my name. Represent me. Obey my voice. Do what he tells you to do. And you'll be successful. James 4:7, I'm going to finish. Therefore, submit to God. In other words, submit to his will. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Huh. What do? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. He's not going to flee from you if you don't do what first? Submit to God. Place yourself under his authority. Obey his instructions. Listen to his voice. Listen to his word. Amen. You'll be successful if you submit yourself to the will of God, which is the word of God. Amen. And a lot of times the things that we're dealing with, amen, is just simply our flesh not cooperating with the Spirit of God. All right. And I've discovered you can't cast the flesh out of somebody. I've tried. If so, I'd cast the flesh out of me, you know. But we need to submit to God. That means to place myself under his authority. Amen. And I need to discipline myself as a good soldier. Amen. And I need to equip myself and understand what my weapons are and how to use them. Amen. And one of the main ways that we use our weapons is through intercessory prayer, through praying, amen, and calling on God, amen, to intervene in a situation. Amen. We also have received in Christ a kingly anointing, which gives you the authority to decree and to speak, amen, to demons. You cast some out. When Jesus cast them out, he spoke to them. He told them to go. Amen. As a child of God in right standing with him, you have been authorized by Jesus, amen, to cast out demons. I'm telling you, when I've been preparing this in the last couple of days, I knew the devil was not happy with this message. I'm going to tell you right now, that means something good is on its way. God is going to be breaking some bondages. God's going to be setting some people free during this season. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm believing for salvation and for healing. Some of us, man, we need healing. Amen. We need miracles. Praise God. I'm asking God to send the miracles again. Amen. Hallelujah. We had some healings. We have some miracles. Amen. But we want to where we, you walk into the room and automatically God just blasts you and you're healed and you're set free. Amen. You're on your way up to the altar and you're getting healed. Amen. That's what we need. Hallelujah. We need a sovereign move of God. If we're willing to make the commitment and the investment, amen, in the spirit, God will honor that and he will open the windows of heaven in a greater measure. So Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Are you believing? Are you expecting? When we ask, believe in your heart that you receive it. Revival. Amen. We're believing for revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish up tonight. If you'd like to come back at 6 o'clock, starting tomorrow, 5 at 5. Amen. I hope you can come out. If you can't, you absolutely can't make it out here, then take this prayer agenda with you. And we ask that you would join with us in spirit. Amen. Make the time, set the time aside. Guys, souls are in the balance. People need the Lord. Amen. We need a breakthrough in America. We need a breakthrough in this city. I'm believing, amen, that things are going to shift and change in this city. God can do it. He has all authority. He's asking us, amen, to stand in the gap and invoke his influence in this place and break the yoke, break the bondages off of the people. Amen. Hallelujah. God can do it. Hallelujah. And I believe he's going to do it if we will commit ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. He said, I will hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. How many want America turned around? Hallelujah. Well, it's in our lap. Amen. God's given us the responsibility to invoke his influence. Together, let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Amen. Until heaven comes down, the glory, the very Shekinah glory. I'm praying for the cloud of glory to come and settle and even in this place and in this city. Hallelujah. That when people drive into shelter, they're going to see drug addiction and people strung out. They're going to say, man, God is in this place. And people are getting set free on the street. People are getting delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.